when things like this happen, we are bombarded with so much stuff, and you know, most of it is controlled so that you are seeing what you are meant to see, or you are made to think what you're meant to think, and you're supposed to react in a way that is beneficial to those who control the story. Welcome back to another segment of Awake the Iron. I'm your host, Kason Pratt, and with me, as usual, is CJ, the Lion of Losanniville. And I have to apologize, it's been a minute. I think it's all summer. It's been crazy stuff going on. We're not done. We're still going to go do stuff, talk about stuff, and we're just glad to be back in the saddle. So, a lot of stuff's been going on. And I just felt the need, called up CJ, and I was like, hey, we gotta talk about some stuff. So, you know, I'm just thinking we can discuss things that are going on. There's a lot of stuff going on. And basically, well, we have a lot of violence going on, a lot of just crazy stuff. And I just want to preface everything that we're going to talk about here that personally, I am of the opinion that what we are shown to be the story is not the truth. I will say that with a degree of confidence. Is some of it true? Probably. You know, did this or that happen? Probably. But what we are told about what occurred, whatever that is, and I'm talking about from like the media, what we are told about what occurred is not the truth. And I will defend that position no matter what. So I'm not a denier of things that happen. I'm just saying, and I'm gonna get CJ's take on this too, that the people who control the story are not in the habit of telling the truth. So I don't know. That's where I'm at. CJ, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, and somebody might say, well, how do you know they're not telling the truth? And what is the truth, right? But history shows that there's they lie about things, right? Like it always comes out later. The holes in the story, you know, whatever it is, 9/11, you know, we just passed the some odd anniversary of 9/11, you know, holes in the story, questions about the official narrative always come out later, or even not later, just immediately people find things that seem inconsistent with the story or whatever, right? So I'm basically asking the question and answering it, like, why would you think it's not true, right? Like, oh, this is what the news tells us. Well, it's because that's their track record.
Right, that's what they do. So
yeah.
And in the end, you know, if we're talking about an event, you know, like, let's talk about 9/11 for a minute. I wasn't there when that occurred. I remember where I was when that occurred. I wasn't there. So I'm at the mercy of what I was told and what I was shown that occurred. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's a whole discussion. And that people have been talking about weird things about that for years and years and years. And all I can say is because I wasn't there, I'm at the mercy of maybe people who were, or people who told me what occurred, or people who showed me and said, oh, this is what occurred. I'm at the mercy of that. So I have to try to discern if, you know, if I accept that. And I don't have to accept that if, like you said, if the person telling me has a bad track record of not telling me the truth, right, then it's reasonable for me to be cautious about accepting that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm called a conspiracy theorist all the time, but we've said it before on here. I'm not really interested in theories. Conspiracies happen all the time. They happen in your own household. Somebody mm-hmm. is planning a birthday party for somebody, and it's a secret. That's a conspiracy. People, right, conspiring to do something without someone else's knowledge. So I'm not really interested in theories all that much. I'm going to tell you this, and maybe this will be another longer discussion later. More specific discussion, but the way the world works, this is what I think, based on everything that I've learned, the way the world works is there are people who run the world. It's not me. It's not you. Most likely it's not anyone who watches this show or listens to the show, but there's people who run the world. And there's people we see who run the world, and they're in charge. However, I think that there's a lot of indicators that the people we see are actually not the top. There's someone else or something else orchestrating things. And I'll just say, I don't know if at the top, I can't say for sure if it's human, which I don't know. And yeah. So that might be a weird thing. Somebody, what is he talking about? Anyway, maybe that's yeah. something we might get to another time. But so that's how I operate is... The people that control the world, they're not me. They don't like me, or they're not, they don't care about me, I should say. They're not out for me. They're out for themselves. And I think those people answer to someone else or something else. So, and those are the same groups of people who control the narrative, the story, of what we are shown about what occurs everywhere, right? Unless you are somewhere and you witness something occur. So that's how I have to operate. And it's not fun to live that way. Mm-hmm. It's difficult, but I don't think that most people are bad and are lying about things. I don't think that at all. It's just the people that control the story. I can't accept what they present. What they present might be true, but mm-hmm. I'm cautious about it.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't stress that enough.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to kind of preface, that's my jumping off point whenever I look at things or talk about things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if people are being honest, you can't really know for sure unless you were there. And even in today, like video manipulation and special effects and AI stuff, man, it's getting hard to tell. It's getting hard to tell the difference sometimes. I see things, I see videos pop up on my feed like, oh, never before seen footage of, you know, I don't know, all kinds of stuff like World War II. And I'm like, where does all this stuff come from?
Mm-hmm.
And it looks really cool. And like, oh man, I never saw it before. Is it something that was dusted off from some warehouse that they found, like film of World War II? Or somebody just use AI to make some video and it looks pretty good, then they say that? I don't know. Because some of the stuff I can't tell. I really can't.
Right, yeah. Well, and even if you are there in person, you know, so like we're watching a video of something, it could be a fake video, but people who are actually there at an event, like, I don't know, an assassination or something. Even then, like, some of that might not even be, like, there's hologram technology, you know, that's been talked about that can be, look super real, like not the kind that, just, you know, like in the movie Back to the Future 2, when they go to the future and then like the Jaws comes out of the sign, like you can tell it's not really a shark there. It's like a 3D video. But, you know, apparently there's technology to like have stuff really look real. And then you've got like, I don't know, you heard like about masks, that like a full face mask that can totally look like whoever, you know, the president, like, or
like movie quality, like makeup mask type.
Yeah. Like on Mission Impossible, you know, Tom Cruise has a, you know, mask that, and when you watch that, it's like, at first you don't think it's believable, you know, like he takes it off and it's like, you know, and they're like, okay, well that was a different actor. But in real life, like, There is that technology, and I've seen, I could find it and put it in the show notes, but there's CIA, I don't know, like alias experts or like covert ops people admitting this technology. Like this one lady talks about how President Bush, I think Bush Senior, there's footage of like him being fooled by somebody in a mask. Like he thinks it's some secretary or whatever. And it's not, like it's a CIA plant with a mask that looks real. And that's whenever Bush Senior was, I mean, that's many years ago.
It was the late 80s.
So who knows what they have now.
Early 90s, right?
So we went back to our disguise labs out at Langley and we invented a whole new genre of masks. Masks that are so good, that are so realistic, that you can actually get up close and have a personal contact with someone for an extended period of time. They're good enough that you can brief the President of the United States in the Oval Office wearing a mask. And he isn't sure if it's you or if it's someone else. I said the stunt double mask came off quickly. So did our new masks, on and off like a hat. Those masks were the beginning of a whole new generation of work that we did at the CIA. Once we could make these masks that fit you so well, then we discovered we could make a twin. We could make another you. There could be two of you. We could actually make five or six of you, but usually one extra was all we needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Does that occur? I don't know. Could it? Probably. Oh, but they, you know, nobody would do that, right? Well, if you think that, you're pretty naive. So yeah, we're at this weird time and where I don't know. I really don't know. That's why it's important to, you know, I got my phone here and there's one reality that exists in this phone. Everything that I get from here is from here. And so it's at the mercy of whoever is controlling what I see here. And then there's another reality, which is the real reality, where I'm talking to my neighbor face to face when we're cutting mowing the lawn or whatever. That's the real. And I think it's important to keep in touch with the real.
Mm-hmm.
Because we get sucked into these screens. I mean, we're on a screen right now. I get it. And so there's usefulness to these things, just like a shovel is useful. But it's really getting weird, like for real weird. And we just got to be careful. Just got to be careful. But I did want to talk about, you know, so Charlie Kirk got murdered. Mm. They say assassinated. What's the difference? I was wondering that on my way home from work today. I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to talk to CJ about this. And I'm like, he was assassinated. He was murdered. I was like, what's the difference? If it's someone famous, it's an assassination? Or is there...
Yeah, I think it's like, right, it's like a specific type of murder, like of a prominent public figure or political leader or something.
All right.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, it's really the same thing.
Right. And of course, as soon as that happened, you know, there's lots of quote unquote conspiracy theories and everybody's analyzing the video. In today's age, there's like video of everything, and this was no exception. And again, I wasn't there to see it with my eyes, so I'm only at the mercy of seeing video, which I didn't really want to.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, I don't need to see it. I'm not trying to just avoid, like, you know, you can't just ignore everything. No, I'm not. Not at all. If anything, I would say that I'm not saying I'm smarter or better than anyone. I'm hyper aware of things. I wasn't surprised. It was this weird feeling. I'm like, yeah, that's, that kind of makes sense in a weird way. I don't know what exactly is happening, you know, but, yeah, we got it. This is a tinderbox, and you know, our society at the moment, you know, it's feeling like it could ignite at any moment. I don't like feeling that way, and I don't walk around thinking, oh my gosh, you know, end of the world is coming. But I think the things that I said before about being cautious and, you know, not jumping to conclusions. I didn't say that specifically, but that's what I mean. And who's delivering you your information and what are they about? We got to be careful on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah, even, yeah. And if you want to talk about like some, anomalies or conspiracies with that specific thing. But before we even do that, can I just say that some people's reaction to it was very, very disturbing and depressing. Like people that were like reveling in the fact that he got killed.
Yeah, they're like, happy about it, or
happy about it, like because of whatever, they don't agree with his beliefs or worldviews or whatever. And I'm like, how is this normal? Or like, even I don't know, convicted criminals or murderers, you know, who maybe get the death penalty, like maybe people celebrate that or cheer, but even that is, you know what I mean? Even that's a little bit. And so for someone who's like, they don't really do anything wrong, not a criminal, like maybe he believes in, you know, gun rights and you don't or something. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah. Okay, he just has a different thought and you're glad, or like he got what he deserved because he said something you didn't agree with. That's that's awful.
There's only one word. There's only one word that keeps coming to my mind when I hear about that, and it's just disgusting. And then people say, oh, you know, we caught the killer. And again, is he the killer? That's what we're told. I don't know. We're supposed to because we're told such and such person is the killer. That is what we're supposed to think. Is he really the killer? Maybe. I don't know. But we're supposed to think he is the killer. Just, you know, I want people to understand what I'm saying there. But it's disgusting if someone's killed and everybody's like, yeah, good. And it's just as disgusting as some people that I was seeing were saying, oh, we caught this killer and we should do, you know, we should bring back, you know, the guillotine in the square and public execution, and we should, they named some specific torturous death from, you know, medieval times. And I'm like, this is really gross, guys. This is really gross. And just for the record, I'm not for death penalty in any way, shape, or form. Not that that necessarily matters, but I just want people to know where I'm at so you can understand who you're talking to or who's talking to you. I don't think deciding who lives and dies is something that is a power that we have, or that we should embrace. But yeah, talking about stuff like that, it's just bizarre. I couldn't really, there isn't a lot that shocks me anymore, but that was almost, I'm like, come on, you're cheering because someone was killed? You know, it's pretty gross. And then and then talking about, oh, this guy who killed him, okay, he should face justice. Oh, we should, you know, torture him to death in public. And I'm like, this is really bad. This is just gross. Like I don't know what other word to describe it as.
Yeah.
Because of who was killed and the way it happened, I don't know if the message is, you better stop talking about stuff openly, you know, or else this could happen. Or, if he was effective as far as, so I view it as there's two sides. One side is the controlling authoritarian side, which is government and its cronies, And the other side is the people trying to get out from under the thumb of the authoritarian, right?
Yeah.
So the discussions like he was having, were they effective? And the people who are in control can't have that. We can't have the slaves, thinking for themselves and realizing that they don't need us, right? The powerful few.
Right, because it's being a public thing, like, sends a message, you know? Like JFK, like, it's a public thing. Like, everybody's watching it. A lot of people saw it happen live, you know?
Yes.
So, and that's also, like, instills fear. Like, it's pretty much terror. It's like terrorism, right? Like, not like, oh, you wake up and then on the news is Charlie Kirk, you know, had a heart attack last night and died, and people still might think like, oh, he was offed or whatever, but it didn't happen. That's different because it didn't happen publicly and everybody, you know, watching it and all that. So,
yes. And all the while, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking this is, you know, XYZ is what we're supposed to think is what occurred. And so that it just makes me wonder, you know,
yeah,
what's going on. A lot of stuff like that, you know, JFK, 9/11. I don't know if we could ever know exactly,
mm-hmm,
everything that occurred for real.
Yeah.
Which, that's a disheartening feeling. Like, how do I base my decisions on, you know, what I do and think if I can't be certain about anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that might be the goal, is to make me feel that way.
Yeah, like, and wasn't it, I think, the same day that the Congress or something was supposed to vote on releasing Jeffrey Epstein information or something? There was something that's supposed to happen that day. Cause I'm always thinking sometimes it's a distraction, you know, like whatever the event is, to get everybody talking about that. And then, you know, look over here, not over there. Mm-hmm. Something else is happening. Or, pardon the vulgar pun, kill two birds with one stone. It could be multifaceted, like, oh, let's distract everybody because we don't want them finding out what Congress did. And at the same time, instill fear in people and, you know, signal to people who are paying attention, you can't speak out or we're going to get you. And, you know, whatever, create controversy, you know, it could be multifaceted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so I have a feeling that talks on college campuses like that, or there's some other people that were doing that kind of stuff. Those are probably going to go away, at least for a while, right? So maybe that's one of the goals, is to just shut that down. You know, or it's a side bonus. If we're thinking like Dr. Evil, right? That's a side bonus, right? Oh,
yeah.
We get rid of someone who is effective at, you know, this, and we can do a distraction, and then, oh yeah, we didn't even think about this, you know, like they probably won't even allow, you know, college campus discussions like that, because I thought they seemed pretty interesting. Like, they talked about a lot of difficult things, and mm-hmm, some of the discussions really, they got me thinking about things.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, they were good. So yeah, that would probably get shut down. But I think the important thing is to not be afraid. And it would be awesome if we had enough people that were courageous enough to like do it even more.
Mm-hmm.
That's really feels like sticking it to the man. You know, when you get right back up, and it reminds me of something, because we were kind of bouncing, talking about 9/11 too. When that occurred, I thought, soon after that, I thought, and then they started talking about maybe, you know, rebuilding it and all that. I thought the greatest thing that we could do is to build those two towers back up exactly like they were as fast as possible. Not to say, oh, it didn't happen, but to say, it was just, to me, it felt like it would be a real stick it to the man. Like, you can't break me, right? You can't break us. And I also couldn't help but think about, I always think of things in movie references. In Rocky IV, don't stay with me because I'll tie it in. Right. You're like, Rocky IV, how's that relate to, you know, 9/11?
Yeah.
But we're talking about coming back and sticking it to the man. In Rocky IV, Rocky fights the big Russian, and he destroyed Apollo Creed. Apollo Creed died in their exhibition fight. This guy is so strong, he actually killed him. And Rocky's got to fight the big Russian. And in true Rocky movie fashion, you know, the fight starts off really bad. Rocky's getting the crap kicked out of him. But then he just keeps, like, surviving each round. And he just will not go down. He doesn't get a lot of good punches back in at the Russian. But he just will not go down. And finally, toward the end, the Russian is in the corner, you know. They're getting him all greased up, ready to go back for the next round. And he's like, this guy, he's not human. He's talking about Rocky. He said, this guy's not human. He's like a piece of iron. You know, he will not be destroyed. And I, you know, if it's the Russian talking, he's like, you know, basically like, everything I punch gets destroyed, but I cannot destroy this guy. And I thought with 9/11, if we built the towers back up right where they were, exactly as they were, that it would diminish the shock and awe of how they were destroyed, and we could just get back, you know. And I understand people wanted to build a memorial there. That's fine. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Maybe people don't agree with what I just said. I just thought building them back up exactly like they were as fast as possible would just be the best, like, stick it to the man. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. On a very, very much, much less dramatic scale, I think of like playing Settlers of Catan, and like somebody takes your knight away or something, and then you just work hard really fast to like just put another one on there, like, you know, like, you're like not gonna do that game. Here it is, I'm rebuilding.
It didn't phase me, right? Yeah, or in like sports, like in soccer, you know, you get a goal scored on you, but then within the next minute you score another goal, it's like, oh crap, you know, we're evened up again, right? So I want people to, we should increase the conversations and the discussions, like Charlie Kirk was doing. It doesn't even matter what we're talking about. Just get into conversations with people. Whatever.
And he would always, because I was actually watching a lot of his videos leading up to this. And like at a college campus, people would get in line, you know, to ask him questions or whatever. And he would always say, disagreements to the front of the line. I don't know if that was his exact words, but, you know, he said, if you have an opposing view, you cut in line, please. Like,
yeah,
he wanted that, which is, you know, brave. And I don't know, it's, you know, it's yeah, a good thing to do is to welcome the opposing thoughts, right? Not just hearing people say, oh, we love you so much, thank you for coming, I love this about you, you know. But he always wanted the opposing views up front.
Right. And that's how you make progress, even if just introspectively for yourself. That's why I like talking about things like we do, but I like watching other people talk about things because there's less pressure when you're just watching two people talk about things, because you can just sit back, maybe you can even pause it and think about it. Like, man, that's a I never thought about that question. Like, why do I believe what I believe? You know? And you can think about it. But that happened to me at the hardware store. I got into a discussion with the guy that worked at the hardware store, who I knew for years, and it was an abortion discussion, and I was against it at any stage of pregnancy at all for any reason. I don't think we should kill people. And I'm embarrassed now to think about the my illogical stance, but I was pro death penalty. I was pro death penalty, but I was anti-abortion. And somebody could argue, well, death penalty is someone is convicted of a crime, and that's way different than a helpless baby that has no say in anything. This per, you know, a criminal chose to, you know, like maybe murder someone. But this person challenged me and basically was like, that seems kind of illogical if you're anti-death, right? Or if you're anti-killing, you should be anti-killing. And man, I thought about that for a while, and I came out the other way thinking, yeah, that's probably right. And that person was, for lack of a better term, pro-abortion. They were also pro-death penalty, so that's, I guess, consistent. Yeah, I changed my thought, and I thought about it a lot since then, and I think that's the right decision. But and again, people can disagree with me if they want, and that would be a good conversation, right? Because maybe they would have something that I hadn't thought of. But and you know, I like to think of things logically, and so I was a little bit embarrassed that I was like, yeah, that logic doesn't quite line up. But anyway, like you were saying, Charlie Kirk was always saying disagreements right to the front of the line. He wanted that to happen. And I'll be honest, I watched a lot of his stuff, and I think I understand why some people, why he rubbed people, some people the wrong way, maybe. He was just very like assertive and very sure of, you know, what he was saying, and that can be a little much maybe for some people. I don't know. It doesn't bother me. You know, I can talk to whoever about in any way. I don't know. He never like made fun of people, or I'd never saw him say anything that would make someone feel belittled. He's always seemed to genuinely actually care about the person. And people were nasty to him, and he was never nasty. He was never nasty to someone else.
Yeah, in fact, he would defend someone's right to, you know, disagree with them because, you know, like I said, he would tell the opposing people to come in front of the line, and sometimes they would say something, and a lot of the crowd, you know, disagreed with it, you know, whatever it was, and they would start booing and hissing or something, you know, and he would say, wait, let them talk, let them get their point across, you know, even though like maybe what they were saying wasn't right, or he didn't agree with, or whatever. he still defended their right to, you know, get their point across, and so they could have a discussion.
Yes, and I don't remember who said this when we were talking about free speech. And I agree with this statement. It's not the easy, nice, comfortable speech that needs protected.
Right.
It's the controversial or even nasty.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like nasty speech, but that you don't have to protect speech that's easy. It's the difficult right. speech that should be protected when we're talking about free speech, right?
Right, yeah.
And
yeah, like saying something bad about the president or something. Like we're allowed to do that. Yeah. In some countries, you can't. Like, you go to jail.
Yeah, and I'll be honest. I mean, you know, I have school-age kids, so, well, I have one still. But the schools are pretty weird, too, man. There's some words, if you even say those words, you know, you're, like, suspended. And I'm like, it's just a really? Weird, it's a weird culture if we're afraid of words now. Like,
yeah, I mean, well, it could be hate speech.
Yeah, and I'm not even talking about like foul language either. Yeah. Words. There's just some right. words that get this like visceral reaction, and I'm like, visceral reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's like I think it's a wrong message. It's like we're afraid of words. There's words I don't like and I don't use.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I want you to be thrown out of school or if it's adults, arrested for saying the words I don't like and I don't use. That's a bad, bad road to start going down. I think we're already going down it, actually.
Yeah. Like, I don't like the word plethora. It just sounds weird. Like, it's just weird sounding plethora. Plethora.
One of mine is, yeah, we're kind of off topic. One of mine is rural.
Oh,
rural.
Yeah. I can't say it.
I don't live in the urban areas. Where do you live? Well, where I live, it's rural.
rural. Yeah.
Yeah,
I know.
We're just kidding about that. But yeah, like I don't get the whole like can't say these words. They're mm-hmm. naughty. Or not even naughty, like foul language. It's like they're taboo words.
Right. Like it's gonna Right, it can offend somebody or cause somebody anxiety.
Yeah, and I'm like,
yeah.
I don't know, this might seem harsh, but I'm like, so? Well, what you said offended me. Okay, well, that's your problem.
Yeah.
I tell people you can't offend me because being offended is a voluntary act. You know. If I say I'm offended, I'm allowing what you say to off-end me mm-hmm. from who I am. You can insult me. So something you say is meant to be an insult to me.
Right.
But you can't offend me. And, well, that's a powerful, it's a simple, but it's a powerful feeling. You can't offend me. Like, it just completely takes away that quote unquote power,
mm-hmm.
you know, from somebody if they're trying to be mean or gross or nasty or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't offend me. I mean, it completely disarms them. And mm-hmm. For people who are professionally offended or habitually offended, like everything offends them, you know, they can't, it doesn't even compute. What? What? You can't be offended. What do you mean? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
can we go back to the assassination for a second?
Yeah.
Just some things that are weird with a story. Juan is apparently like the precision of the sniper shot or whatever, seemed professional, you know, like, and maybe if he was, I think he was wearing a bulletproof vest, so like had to get him in the neck or something. But then the alleged shooter is like some 22-year-old, and you know, and they show footage of him like jumping off the building to escape or whatever. And I don't know, it just seems like he doesn't know what he's doing. In fact, there's a, we can link this one video. It's really interesting with this guy being interviewed who was like former FBI and Secret Service and like expert in all these things. And he's talking about this, like a professional, like someone who's going to do that shot with precision, like would have training on like how to do the whole situation, you know, like scout it out, get up on the roof, jump off without possibly injuring yourself, you know, all this stuff. And like the video of the kid jumping off, like he doesn't do like a, I forget what they call it, like you would when you land on a parachute from a parachute or something, like where you kind of roll. He just like jumps down and then apparently leaves the gun by the trees. Like, right? Why would you do that if you know what you're doing? And then I think they showed a picture of the rifle, and this expert guy was saying it was probably a prop because like the scope was all the way back or something, where like it would hit you in the eye when the gun went off. And they showed it, like everybody knows, he was saying like anybody who hunts or shoots or whatever, like you don't put the scope there. So whatever picture they showed us of, here, we found the rifle. It's like, well, okay, maybe even if that was it, like somebody changed it. Like, that's not, that doesn't add up either. And then you got the like security guards behind him doing hand signals. Did you hear about that or see that?
I saw some of that. If what I saw is what took place in real time, it's, if I was a detective, so for people that might be listening or watching or see stuff like that and say, oh, these conspiracy theorists, it's JFK all over again, the grassy knoll, blah, blah, blah. No, put yourself in the shoes of a detective who is charged with figuring this out. You have to figure this out. What happened? You got to get to the bottom of it. Stuff like that, you can't ignore stuff like that.
Right.
And I don't even think those are like crazy minute details. Those are obvious things that are like analyzing the weapon that was used, right? Or like the hand signals. I don't know anything about security and hand signals. It doesn't seem like a stretch to me that there would be certain protocols. If anyone's in that kind of field, you let me know. But there were some weird stuff, and I haven't even seen a lot. I was kind of avoiding looking at stuff because I was just stuff changes so much. It's like I just let the dust settle, and if I feel like I'm interested in, you know, looking at something, but I know that we're going to be presented with a story that we're meant to see. So I was just kind of standing back, but I have seen some weird stuff like that. So if you're a detective, you can't ignore like, hey, that's weird. We need to, you know, go talk to that guy. Right. Why? That's not unreasonable. Yeah. That's not a conspiracy theory. That is, oh, that's weird. I'm a detective. Or if we're thinking like a detective, let's check that out. Right.
Yeah, and this guy, this expert, it's a really good interview, we'll link it. He was saying that it's like a typical thing to do to have like a spotter or a sniper. If there's not like a spotter with you where you are, then you have one with the target to like confirm like right now is a good time. In other words, like the target, I don't like saying target, the person, whatever, is, you know, like as far as like moving or like just took a drink of water. And so he's probably not going to do that again, you know, and bend down and like miss the shot, you know? So like you just take a drink of water and then resets and then you get the triple confirmation, like now. And then that's when it happened. And this guy was saying like, it's totally a known thing in like covert jobs like this to like have a spotter and little signals like, yep, go, you're good right now.
Right. So yeah. I will say this. I think it's very unlikely that a random person who practices shooting a little bit can show up at an event like that and pull that off.
Yeah.
It's improbable.
Yeah.
So more like what you're saying, it seems things like that are organized and precise, right? That seems reasonable to me. So, you know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. But again, that stuff shouldn't be ignored.
Yeah.
But probably will be. But by the main people in charge of figuring it out, they're not going to hunt these things down. And it's weird.
Yeah, and that's what I'm looking for too, is like, okay, is somebody going to find out who those guys were? Like, were they Charlie's security detail or with the event or who they were and like what they were doing, just to, you know, vet the whole situation. So maybe it wasn't just a lone gunman thing. Other people were involved.
Right. Do you think you could play that Chase Hughes, that short video?
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you guys recall, CJ and I did a little reaction to Chase Hughes' video. He talked about how to spot a PSYOP. I don't know if you remember. There's like all these different ways, and there was that like analysis. You could give a score to each of the points, and then you can score out of 100 and see if something is a PSYOP or not. Anyway, Chase Hughes is fantastic. And he did soon after this Charlie Kirk thing, he did a video. It's a longer video, but there's a little short part that's really got the good meat of the video in there. And maybe we'll just play that. Oh, it's probably like a minute or something.
Yep. Give me just a second.
The minute that your ideas require violence to enforce or spread, they are already completely bankrupt. Every tyrant, every failed ideology, every social collapse starts the exact same way. The debate dies, then violence takes the place of debate. And you can't argue with a gun. You can only kill with it. And when killing is the substitute for a conversation, society as a whole starts falling off a cliff. We all have been sold the biggest con of our entire life. And this is that the problem is left versus right, or Republicans versus Democrats. And that is the distraction fireworks show that they want us screaming about while they're doing something else. This is a magician's trick, and I'm about to really show you what Charlie, God rest his soul, has kind of exposed here. If you turned on cable news today, maybe you scroll social media, what are you going to see? The absolute fringe. They're going to show you the loudest, dumbest, most cartoonish people from the other side, blasted in your face 24/7. You're not being shown your neighbor or your coworker or the mom next door who votes differently. You're being shown a bunch of professional lunatics that are handpicked to make you think one thing. And the one big thing that they want you to think is, oh my God, these people are insane.
Yeah, and that we can put a link to the full video that is an excerpt from, because it is, as usual from Chase Hughes, it is excellent. And you know, some of it, maybe some of the things he says you wouldn't agree with, it's fine. Maybe some things you do, maybe some things that he says you're like, wow, I didn't think of it that way. Yeah, so the magician's trick is, it's us versus them, right? It's Christians versus atheists. It's Republicans versus Democrats, right? It doesn't even matter what the divide is, right? And then they're going to show you the most extreme of that to make you say, ugh, right?
Yeah.
I still want to maybe talk about this.
Maybe let's do that another time.
Okay.
We kind of did a lot already.
Yeah, we did. So, So we covered a kind of a narrow topic, but talked about quite a bit. And we'll be doing more shows. We had a little bit of a hiatus. It's just I got busy, and this is my fault. But somebody said to me, they're like, hey, a guy at work, he's like, hey, you haven't had an episode in a while. I was like, yeah, you know what? We should. Because there's always a lot going on and a lot to talk about. But, we went almost an hour, I guess. That's pretty good. Bottom line, don't jump to conclusions. We're gonna be bombarded. We already are, but when things like this happen, we are bombarded with so much stuff. And, you know, most of it is controlled so that you are seeing what you are meant to see, or you are made to think what you're meant to think. And you're supposed to react in a way that is beneficial to those who control the story. So don't react, right? Don't react. You respond after you use your discernment and use your caution. That's all I would say. I'm not telling you what to think or anything like that. But anyway, okay. Well, it was good talking to you. And stay tuned for more. We'll be cranking some more out. And as usual, remember to keep your powder dry, and we'll see ya.
Bye.